All right. So what's
Ooh,
what?
Chiba-kun landed on his Ohara.
Chiba.
Okay.
So I've been hearing a lot about different opinions from outside of TGS, and granted, it's probably a big bubble from which we cannot escape until it's over. One of the things I heard was that the 3DS is going to die a terrible, loathsome death.
Well, it is, right? I mean, the internet's never been wrong about anything.
No, I mean, you know, all the games I saw there for the 3DS more than any other system certainly indicates to me that it is indeed going to be a failed platform.
Well, I mean, let's think about it this way. When it launched, it probably didn't have enough games, you know. In its launch window, it was pretty slow. In Japan too. In America, really, because, you know. But it seems that this TGS is trying to show that there are games for it.
Yeah.
Although, I don't know. Nintendo should get their butt to TGS some year.
One would think that would help.
Maybe that's not who they're going for anymore, you know. Nintendo used to court the hardcore market, you know, GameCube, things like that. But it seems Nintendo's now like, no, we're going to advertise in Disneyland instead or something. You know, it's like,
right.
We mostly want the little kids. But if people want hardcore games on the system, well, here's these other companies to do it for us. And it's kind of working. I mean, look at the titles we saw there. We saw Monster Hunter Tri-G, a new Resident Evil.
Yeah, I didn't actually get to see that one, unfortunately, but
oh, well, it's I watched the video of it, and it looks good. Good.
Yeah, I played Sonic Generations.
Yep.
And I almost forget sometimes that the 3DS's thing is that it does 3D. It's not just the next Nintendo system.
Yeah.
And so playing an actual 3DS game on the show floor, it's like I just had this problem in general where I don't remember what 3D looks like in my memory.
Yeah.
Like I'll watch a movie in 3D, like Tron. I saw twice in 3D.
That's no fault but your own.
I liked Tron Legacy a lot though. But like when I think about it again, I think about it in 2D.
Well, I think you have a hard time picturing things. You know, I'd say faces and memories and things like that are probably mostly 2D too. Wouldn't you say?
Yeah, I'm not really sure actually. Yeah, maybe that's the case. But you know, when I played the game, it really did leave a strong impression. So there's stuff out there for sure.
There's definitely stuff out there, and people are using it. Like I think, you know, Street Pass, right?
Yeah, Street Pass.
That system where if you walk by, like, another person's DS, it exchanges information with that person.
Yep. There's some cool mini games around that as well.
Yeah, there are. And I was walking around Tokyo Game Show. I didn't bring... I've got my brother's 3DS, because, as I mentioned in a previous podcast, he finally went and bought one.
Mm-hmm.
And he likes it a lot. And he loaned it to me because I wanted to see if I could play any DS demos or things like that. And unfortunately, I was too busy to do that, and I didn't even bring it the first day. But I brought it the second just for a little bit. I had it on just near the end. And then I had it the second public day and a little part of the... Sorry, the first public day and a little part of the second. Now, the Street Pass can only hold 10 Mii's information at a time.
Yeah.
Then you have to transfer them to your system. You have to, you have to empty out the line, you know, before you can do another. So, I was busy most of the day, so I only did it a few times. But, in the 2 days I did it, I got over 100 Mii's.
Yeah, that was freaking crazy. I mean, and that's another thing, too. Like, people who say that Japanese gaming is dead need to go to the show, especially on the public days.
Oh, man. I don't know. It might be selective memory, but this is my fourth TGS, Sean.
Yeah.
And it's your second. Have you ever seen it that crowded?
No. It was impossible to navigate.
Now, I mean, perhaps there were less games on the show, or maybe, I don't know, they had less usable space, or I don't know exactly, but to me it seemed more crowded than any previous show. Now, we're going to have to wait till the actual numbers come out to see what that, if that's actually what's happening, but it was taking up the whole Meisei area.
Yep.
Other than that one spot near the back entrance, that wasn't really being used.
Yeah, but that, you know, that's typical, isn't
it? But I don't think it's ever used. My memory fails me a bit. Yeah. But
halls 4, 5, and 6 are usually the most crowded.
Yeah.
They have the most stuff in them. Yeah.
But like, it was Tokyo subway crowded. It was crazy.
It was
so hot.
Yeah.
Like, the building itself is air conditioned.
Yes.
But it was of no use. This is something I haven't seen before. Remember when we entered the building, they had those signs like warning heat stroke and things like
that?
And giving steps for what to do if you're feeling dizzy and like first aid stations around? Because it was just a sea of humanity.
Yeah.
And when you got up to the top and you just watched it, there's like rippling waves of... I don't know, it was crazy.
Yeah, I remember doing, like, you know, the high angle crowd shot before, and it was on public days that I took some video and took shots like that. I do not remember it being that packed. It was just absolutely insane. I mean, a couple of times, and we had this privilege because we were pressed and could walk around outside, but we just went out the building and walked around the back door. Something that we forgot only we could do when we had a friend visit us.
Yes, that was a problem. Yeah, that was nice about being pressed, that we could go through those kind of back ways. We didn't have to fight the crowd for everything. Yeah. That was really nice. But any time we wanted to get out to see a game or anything on the show floor, it was just wall to wall people. And but getting back to the 3DS thing,
yeah,
because of it, it collects people while your thing's in sleep mode. Okay, but like I cleared out the people in it, I put it to sleep.
Right.
I walked around for 90 seconds.
Yeah.
And it was full with 10 people again.
Yeah.
Like if I would have stood in one place, I could have gotten 1,000 Miis, 2,000 Miis. Yeah. Like. Which was strange, because I didn't see many 3DS systems out. I really didn't. I saw a lot of PSPs. I didn't see a lot of 3DS systems out. They must have been in people's bags or something. But
when we were waiting to see Shinya Arino, there was a girl behind you holding a 3DS,
I
saw.
Yes, she was. Yeah. She probably has my brother's Mii now. And my brother has her Mii, and I don't know. I approve. I approve if they want to get married.
Because clearly that's going to be the outcome.
Well, of course.
So that's the thing that I got reminded of too is your brother got his 3DS in Japan while he's been living here, right?
Yeah.
He knows his region locks, doesn't he?
Yes, he does.
Okay, because I didn't want to get back to the States and think, great, I can buy American games now. No.
Although, I mean, he can play his American DS games.
That's true.
But
that's
true. Yeah, Yeah, that's the future, unless, of course, you buy a Vita.
That was news over the weekend. Finally, Sony announced that the Vita's going to be region-free.
They kind of hinted at it previously, apparently, in different conferences, but no one had confirmed it. And that scared me, because if you remember when they announced the Wii, they originally said it was region-free. I wrote a big post about it. But then, like, a day... like no. Not even a day, like half a day later, someone went, no, sorry, we made a mistake, it's not. And I'm like, curse you, Nintendo!
Yeah.
And then, I don't know, like, good for Sony.
Mm-hmm.
Now, in the Region Lock podcast, I expressed doubt that the Vita would be region-free, because the PSP Go wasn't region-free. But that was more because of the store than any... Well, there's no media, so... It was the store, but so the store stuff might still be region locked on the Vita, but that's okay with me. I think that's all right, because stuff on the online store has a much greater chance of being localized anyway, just because there's less risk.
Mm-hmm.
But I don't know. Like, I don't know what camp I'm in now. Do you know what I mean?
Yeah, we had one YouTube user mentioning this to us, that he thought the price drop swung him towards Nintendo's side, but now that the PS Vita has been announced as region free, it swung him back the other way.
Yeah, the DS price drop, not so much that, but like seeing so many games on the show floor.
Yeah.
Like, because I saw a few games that, maybe not killer apps for me, but like games I'd like to own.
Mm.
You know, games I wouldn't mind having. And as ugly as it is, this is something I mentioned last time. I did get to try out that. I don't think I did mention it last podcast. I did get to try out the grip thing.
Right, right. Yeah, we added a clip of that in front of the day two video. But, it was just very brief impressions how it felt like the classic Pro controller.
It did, but interestingly enough, like, it makes it look ugly. It does, but actually, what I mentioned last time we talked about TGS was I mentioned how the Vita, I thought, felt really good, mm-hmm. With the twin sticks and everything. I'd say that the DS with that grip feels as nice. Maybe I like the analogs a little better on the Vita. They feel a little I don't know, less like nubs. But
yeah.
But they both feel really good. The problem I have is that when that grip thing is on the DS, it's not pocketable anymore. Then again, the Vita's not pocketable any time. What is this with these huge portables?
Yeah, it is really big, but it's still very ergonomic.
Oh yeah, it feels great in that. It feels great in your hands. I think that's the thing though. It just doesn't like, if it was a little bigger, it would be the Wii U controller. Do you know what I mean?
Yeah.
It's
right.
Neither one seems, but then again, they're calling it a portable system, not a pocket system. You know? And if you look at the original Game Boy, it could fit in the back pocket of a pair of spacious jeans. But
yeah, so I mean,
we've been spoiled by like Game Boy Advance, and
it's not as thick as a Game Boy, but it's certainly longer and taller.
Yes, it is.
But the Game Boy has thickness.
All right. Okay. Come on now. Come on. Come on. What?
It only has a dot matrix, but...
Stop it.
All right, sorry, I'm looking at Shiba-kun now, and all I can think of is Fauna is O'Hara.
Yes, he did. if anybody doesn't know, Shiba-kun, we'll attach an interesting video...
Maybe, yeah.
...to the show notes. Shiba-kun is it was described as by my colleague here as some kind of pink dinosaur thing... But it's really, I don't know, kind of like a dog with a horn and his tongue stuck out, and he's the shape of Chiba, and he's their prefecture's official mascot. And the place we're staying right now, if you hold Shiba-kun up and you look at him, would be right about Shiba-kun's butt crack. And that is a somewhat accurate description of, it's a nice town.
Yeah.
It's a nice town, but it is very far from where we should be,
which is
kind of like by Chiba-kun's eye.
Yeah, we last time we were both here, we stayed in Toke,
which is around Chiba-kun's stomach.
Yeah, and along along the same train tracks that we had to take way out here.
Yeah,
but it's like maybe halfway, maybe a little closer actually to the convention center. And that seemed like a long trip at the time.
It was.
That's just the nature of living in a big metropolitan area.
Yeah.
I guess, you know, you go out to the sticks to live and you come into the city to work, and no exception for us, even though neither of us lives here.
but yeah.
So, you know, apart from all the portable stuff, well, I guess not really apart from, sort of in contrast to it, we looked at a lot of mobile gaming during the public days.
Oh, you're talking about the Gree Booth?
Yeah, the Gree Booth,
yeah.
Game Loft, Yeah, stuff like that. Because, you know, what they said during the keynote was very interesting about how, we mentioned this last podcast, the general gaming devices are going to become more prominent just by their nature. People are going to have them already. And, you know, the gaming is just going to be like second nature. And, you know, why not? You know, the hardware investment's already been made by the consumer, not as a gaming device, but now it can still do the gaming you want. And so, yeah, Gree, was it the Gree booth? No, I'm thinking the Game Loft. Whichever booth you played at, which had like console-like games with them.
Oh, yeah, that was, like that was Game Loft.
That was Gree, Game Loft.
Gree focused mainly on... Gree has good games, but they're like ports from... They're mostly ports from regular, like, mobile phone games, so they're made for very simple control mechanisms, often one button plus directions. But the Game Loft games, they're all copies. They're all copies of things. Like, they have... Infinite Legacy, I think that was called, Yeah, Infinite Legacy, and that's their Final Fantasy 13. Right. And they have Shadow Guardian, and that's their Uncharted. And they have the Gangster series, and that's their Grand Theft Auto. And they have Let's Golf, which is their Hot Shots Golf. I mean, they're fairly blatant ripoffs, but at the same time, they're not. They're getting better.
Yeah, they're not, like, bad-looking games. I don't know how they played.
They aren't.
But they graphically look just really amazing. And that's the thing, like, you know, before you might have passed stuff by because it didn't look that good. But even, like, the small boosts of companies you never heard of before, their stuff looks really good.
And I think that's going to be a big problem for these game makers. Now, still, no one's going to look at Shadow Guardian and think, oh, did I say Shadow Complex before? I hope not, because that's a very different game. But anyway, but no one's going to look at Shadow Guardian and go, oh, man. That's just as good as Uncharted, you know. Uncharted's way better, but I bought Shadow Guardian for 99 cents. It was on sale. It's normally like $6, but I bought it for 99 cents, and like Uncharted's like $60, you know.
Right.
So the thing is, it's not whether one game's better than the other. It's in the eyes of a lot of consumers, is this game 60 times better? And I mean, it's not really like that, because it's time. Like, I'd rather spend more money on a game that I love.
Yeah.
You know, because my time is money. My time is valuable. So, like, but for people, you know, especially kids, main game consumers, you know, what do you want? Do you want a whole bunch of games? Or one game, you know? And so consoles are really going to have to find a way to make... Well, consoles are trying to do this too, though. PSP minis, you know, little downloadable games.
Yeah.
WiiWare, DSiWare, things like that. Xbox Live Arcade. They're trying. But what's weird is some of the smartphone games are not, you know, little mini game type games.
Right.
They're full-fledged console-like games. I have a Prince of Persia: The Warrior Within for my phone.
Mm-hmm.
It's one of the earlier titles, so it's not. It kind of looks like what would happen if they ported it to like the Dreamcast. You know what I mean? Like the graphics aren't quite, you know, this gen, but it looks a lot better than like say a PS, you know, a first generation PlayStation game, you know, but again, 99 cents.
Yeah,
and you know that I think it's weird because at Tokyo Game Show, almost all the companies are embracing these smartphone games, but at the same time, I think they're scared of them.
You know what occurs to me though?
Yeah,
I mean, and maybe not really being a parent yet in this modern era, I'm sort of naive about this.
Yeah.
But I don't imagine a lot of children owning iPhones. Adults are the ones who are the most likely to own something like that.
Definitely.
And you know, even at $250 as the 3DS was and the Vita will be, that's still much cheaper than it costs to get like an iPhone, even with a subsidized plan. Well, it's not much cheaper.
Well, in Japan, there's 0 yen on contract.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
Okay, but
I paid nothing for my phone.
But you know, the contract over the course of the year is still going to cost more than that.
Oh, definitely, definitely.
And but it was interesting because that brought up something that was mentioned during the keynote about how. You know, one would expect in that kind of market that old gamers would be replaced by new ones, and that doesn't really happen, is what they found out.
Exactly.
So it's just so this industry is aging.
It is.
And so it has to target those of us who have the nice high tech toys. On the other hand, it's like I thought the Wii made incredible strides in sort of breaking out of that.
Definitely, people
that paradigm.
People have never played video games before were going into Wii Sports for the tennis and bowling, and they were attempting to lose weight with Wii Fit. And
I wonder who did that.
Hey, it totally worked. Unfortunately, the Wii Fit was no excuse for Dad Eat, you know, which is the program I started soon after Wii Fit. but I don't have graphs for that one. But the thing is that's my own fault. Wii Fit worked for me. And it stuck for a while. It stuck for quite a while. It wasn't. Mm-hmm. It really wasn't until I had the kid and I didn't have a lot of time to go exercising or.
Mm-hmm.
It's also the time I started my new job when I wasn't biking anymore. I was driving. But.
Yeah.
So a number of factors, This isn't a Wii Fit podcast, but...
No.
The thing is, Nintendo created all that goodwill and then just squandered it, really.
Mm-hmm.
They had brought in all these new customers at the expense of their old customers.
Right.
In many cases.
Right.
And you know what? That's okay. That's a smart business move. If there's a greater audience, you take that in. But the problem is they... It looked like they had forsaken their old customers, and then they kind of left their new customers high and dry, too.
Yeah, because I was going to say, there is a market that will still serve the hardcore gamer, which is why after 2007, I spent a lot more time on my 360 than on the Wii. But yeah, I can't think of a lot that Nintendo's done to keep their new audience.
Yeah. Although, I don't know, I got my... We've criticized Nintendo a lot, but my hat's off to them for whatever they did to get the Monster Hunter franchise on the 3DS. That was a very good move on their part. Because as much as we loved the Vita booth, and I was hearing this from people talking in line near us, you know, I didn't catch all of their conversation, but I kept hearing Monster Hunter again and again because people were upset. Because mm-hmm. these are people who had probably left Nintendo handhelds a while ago and moved to the PSP, and they probably have money invested in the PSN accounts and things like that.
Right.
You know, although from what we learned, people are using PSN a lot less than they are in the States. But anyway, they were used to playing Monster Hunter on that type of handheld. And they were looking forward to playing it on the Vita, which would be the powerhouse handheld, you know, with two sticks already built in, which is perfect for playing Monster Hunter. And Capcom went, no, you're going to play it on this handheld, and we're going to include the tumor so you can play it. Sorry, I heard that on the internet that people are nicknaming it the tumor. Because it really
it's not a tumor.
It really does look more on that later. It really does look like it's some kind of growth out the side of the game system. But again, as I said, it's really not as bad as it seems. And when you're actually playing the game, you forget about it, I'm guessing.
Yeah.
Completely. But Nintendo has made some roads to securing some good franchises. And I think that's gonna help them in the long run. I think Nintendo needed a wake up call with the 3DS
mm-hmm.
when it started to not when it wasn't selling. And And I mean, I've heard lots of excuses for why it hasn't selling. Let's see, the what was it? The earthquake. The earthquake caused it not to sell.
Right. Yeah.
And like, you know, not the right color or something. You know, I mean, it didn't sell because it was $250. You know,
and it wasn't feature complete when it launched either.
Yeah, and people felt. And the thing is, Nintendo set a precedent that they always release new models, so a lot of people were waiting for 3DS Lite.
Right.
You know.
And now with, you know, a new control scheme that more than just one game is going to end up using.
It pretty much confirms that there will eventually be.
Yeah.
But I don't know, like, but as I said, I'm on the fence now because I saw a lot of things I'd like to play. And I think the Street Pass thing is awesome.
Yeah.
And they finally have demos and they finally have videos and you know, just, and the 3D is pretty cool. But now Vita went and said, we're going to be region-free, so I want to support people who release region-free consoles. So, so I don't know. If you have any suggestions for me, leave them in the comments and feedback. So, because, I don't know, I'm still weighing the pros and cons. I mean, let's be honest here. Look at me.
All right. I'm looking at you, but no one else can look at you.
What am I going to do? I'm probably eventually going to have both of them. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
But, you know, because this, I'm the type of person who, when good titles start coming out on systems, I'll get them regardless.
Yeah, I don't know what it is, but it's something about the Vita that makes me kind of drawn to it as a piece of technology. Like, I never really had a thing for the PSP or even, you know, any of the redesigns or anything like that, and it's like not even like the library of games it has. I just like it. You know? Is that weird?
I don't know. I mean, we were definitely put in a place to like it.
Definitely. Do you know what I mean? I mean, Sony went all out with its Vita stuff. Its booth.
Executive Vita Lounge or whatever. Uh-huh. And
do we get any pictures of that? There was these booths. Yeah. Like above the fray. Yeah. With these huge, you know, blue signs. And a camera crew's in there. Like, they were really pushing that thing hard.
They were. And they had a lot of games on display, like tons of games on display. And a lot of them were just announced then. And, you know, they really wanted to be like... Oh, and they needed it, though, because they'd had such a letdown with not getting Monster Hunter.
Oh, yeah.
I know we keep going back and forth with, like, we love Vita, we hate Vita, we love Vita. But that's really how it was at Tokyo Game Show, too. Because, like, Vita, everyone was like, wow, ooh, ah, awesome. But there was the elephant in the room, you know what I mean?
Yeah.
Because the whole reason that well, not the whole reason, of course, but a major contributing factor of the fact that the PSP continued to remain successful in Japan was its best-selling game, which is one of the 10 best-selling games in history.
Yeah.
Monster Hunter 2nd G, and then another one, Monster Hunter 3, which will definitely rise to that level.
Yeah.
So, it's like...
It is really funny, because, I'm sure I mentioned this last week, too, that the game did go to the console that wasn't well-equipped enough with its control scheme to handle it.
Yes.
I don't even want to suggest what Nintendo might have done to get that contract, you know, because this is the family show and all.
Yeah.
But, you know, I'm sure it involves something on the upper echelons of business that we can only speculate at this point. But I think this does show that Nintendo did make mistakes with the 3DS, just overall.
Yeah.
You know, apart from the price drop, apart from not releasing a feature complete systems, you know, and not like releasing around the holidays or whatever. But honestly, I don't think it's going to end up mattering in the long run.
No,
people are going to be upset that they're not going to, that they have to have this add-on for their 3DS once the inevitable hardware upgrade comes out.
Yeah.
But like from that point on, it's going to be the 3DS, and when people look back on it, they're not going to think about the original model very much.
Well, it's like we don't really think about the DS Fat much anymore.
Exactly.
Like, Nintendo was doing okay, but they were on par with PSP when the Fat was out. But it was when they released the Lite, and they released Mario Kart, and they released New Super Mario Brothers, and you know, I mean, Nintendogs did well for the fat, but like it was around the time that the DS Lite came out that it skyrocketed.
Yeah, I mean, and to me, I had both, and to me, the DS Lite was the DS.
Oh yeah,
I never got a DSi or an XL or a 3DS, as I mentioned many times before. But I mean, all of those systems ever since, have the same aesthetic as the Lite. And the DS Fat's like a forgotten footnote in its history almost. But it's the only one I have left now. So if I don't play DS games, what few I have, that's the one I have to go to.
But anyway, I mean, time will tell. And we're going to look back on this podcast and go, we had no idea that super happy Donut Shop 3000 would be PSP exclusive and cause another phenomenon or something. I don't know.
We have a pretty good idea for our inevitable roundup special of looking back on TGS from the future. And so I hope it pans out the way that we're planning.
It'll never pan out the way we're planning. We're crazy, but that might happen.
Now, I hope your wife's going to be good and play along.
I have finally received the ability to do green screen, so so maybe we can actually have videos where we're both in them again.
Oh, I didn't even think about that. That wasn't even my intention.
Yeah.
I just had too many green screens.
A common problem. I mean,
yeah.
I mean, I hear lots of people complaining about infestations of green screens.
Yeah.
Anyway, getting back to the Tokyo Game Show, the public days were a challenge, I think is fair to put it.
Yeah. Just apart from the navigation, the tenor of the show changed dramatically. The story you told me of waiting in line for Lollipop Chainsaw.
Yeah.
Because I was off in the press room getting some editing done.
Yeah.
And you came back and you were telling me how you were trying to start conversations with these poor otaku, and either they were just too shy to speak.
Yeah.
Because you're speaking Japanese to them, you know?
Yeah, yeah. It's not like, well, I mean, my Japanese was probably far from perfect, but like if someone's tried to speak broken English to me, I'd at least like give them a nod of or at least a friendly, confused smile.
Yeah, naturally.
But like it was weird. I was standing next to these otaku gamers, and I'm like, so how about that Lollipop Chainsaw? Well, in Japanese, but I'm like, do you like Suda Goichi games again? On the games when they have like dot dot dot, I didn't realize it, but Japanese people can actually say that with their emotions.
It's true.
So do you like Grasshopper Manufacture? Dot dot dot. It's uncanny because I mean they're not saying anything, but like that's the thought that's coming into my mind there.
That's precisely right.
And then they just went back to playing their PSPs. It was really weird.
Do you remember what I told you after that?
Yeah. No, I don't remember.
That story?
Yeah.
I was like, Kevin, these aren't press. These are real people. You can't talk to them like that.
Oh, okay. You said that. Oh man. No. Hey. No offense to real people or press, but I don't know, when on the press days, like everybody was there, like I don't know, it was pretty nice. The press we made, no one was like scrambling for exclusives so much. They were like, hey, did you check out this one yet? This one's pretty good. You should get that. It was pretty nice. I mean, pretty calm. We got to see a post about a my cosplayer's butt before it went up.
Yeah, I was just thinking about that same thing. It's like everyone else is taking pictures of my, including the guy that Brian Ashcraft was taking pictures of.
Yeah.
He's just contorting himself in the most ridiculous positions, and he's just like, guys, come over here, look at this. We're just telling the story of he's being yelled at by other people. He's yelling at other people for getting in the way, and they're like, oh, you have to wait in line, sir. And it's like, no, I'm trying to get that guy.
Can we? Yeah. I'm not taking pictures of my, I'm taking pictures of the guy taking pictures of me.
We should link that in the show notes. Not like Kotaku needs any help or anything.
No. And Ryan Ashcraft, if you're listening to this, thank you for listening to our podcast. All right. But
Well, should we? I mean, I'm not going to slam any of the big organizations, yeah, really. But I mean, it did seem to me as though they're sort of weary of the entire trade show thing, and maybe it's because of something you said about how the big press events are like sort of before and after TGS.
Yeah,
now.
It's weird. Like, you know, remember day one and two. We're like, oh my gosh, it's so great to be here. We were just having this amazing time. And day three, we're getting a little tired, but like, we noticed that a lot of the press had only come to the press days.
Yeah,
and they weren't covering. Like, remember how packed the press room was? It was game journalists everywhere, standing room only. People on the floor with laptops. You know, it was crazy. Not enough iced tea. Just really. Really wild. And then day three, the first open day,
yeah,
you could get a seat wherever you want.
It was like half empty and there were people sleeping in the corner and just...
Yeah. And then by day four, I mean, like, we could take an entire table to ourselves. Whatever. And I didn't see any foreign press day four. Did you? I mean, I think they were all...
Yeah.
I mean, there were probably some that weren't working out of the press room or, you know, stuff like that. Right, and I definitely saw a couple on the show floor, but it was almost nobody. And, dear viewers and listeners, we have a confession to make. Oh. We slept in this morning.
Yeah. We had a really awesome week.
Yeah.
But it was finally time to be like, I need to operate in more than 4 hours of sleep, because we were dragging O'Hara on day three. And we wanted to leave like maybe 3 hours after we got there. We still stuck around for most of the day, but it was still a very eventful day, wasn't it?
Like, definitely.
Like definitely. You know, we came in not expecting to get like a lot of interviews or anything like that, and we would just they would just sort of materialize and happen. Well, it was so strange.
I think somewhere around the fact that I hadn't gotten more than. Yeah, 3-4 hours of sleep for the last like 4 days, had kind of burned out my inhibition chip. I don't know.
Yeah.
So like, I would just be going up to people and just asking for interviews or whatever, and I'd be getting so many of them on the spot just right there. I know that's probably not protocol, but it seemed to work. we're gonna put up as much of those as we can. You know, as these days go on, and hopefully soon. But
yeah, we got a lot of great pictures that, I mean, we gotta put them somewhere.
Yeah, I'm trying to figure it out. I don't know. Sean, should we do a Booth Babes post? I don't know. That's so cliche at this point.
Yeah. I mean, we asked our 4CR compatriots what they thought of the idea.
Yeah,
and they were generally cool to it as long as we got some kind of angle.
Yeah,
and I mean, one angle you mentioned was how bikini bottoms have been banned.
That's not an angle. That's an observation.
Okay, that's an observation.
I'm not entirely sure about this, but I know at E3, like, bikini bottoms had been banned.
Okay.
And so at TGS, it seemed that they had been too, because in previous years they existed. You know, there were bikini girls at TGS, but now there weren't. So it seemed the new trend was very small shorts. But like the top two buttons undone, and I think we should link to the Homestar Runner video of Teen Girl Squad.
Oh yeah,
because I kept thinking that line or whatever, where one of the girls goes, "Are my underwears showing?" or something, or whatever, and then they respond, "Yes, ma'am," or something.
Yeah, so, oh, yeah, man. I remember this one.
I should really know this better before I reference it, but. And Homestar Runner fans are already writing their angry emails, but it's been several years.
Yeah.
But it just seemed like that was the new thing. Maybe it's not a booth girl thing. Maybe it's just a fashion thing that I've ignored due to the fact that I'm not a girl and that I live in Hickville. But I don't know. That's not an angle, though. We can't
do
a post. And I don't know. It's been done so many times and by so many sites. Like, the only people I saw in the press room were people photo touching like their sexy girl pictures, and it just It seems more creepy than fun at some point. And we really didn't take that many.
No, but we made a point to take some fun pictures. You know,
yeah,
that
we tried.
Yeah.
I tried to get one of the booth babes who had a sword to pretend to decapitate me. She looked like she was willing to do it, but someone ran out and was like, no, you can't do that. Because in a previous TGS, I had gotten a Shinobu cosplayer to pretend to be beheading me.
I don't think that her sword was as sharp as this one's, though.
It
looks like it might have been real live steel.
Well, probably not. Probably not sharpened live steel, at least.
I have a video. Maybe I'll go back to it and see. But it looks pretty scary to me.
I suppose, but I bet she was more afraid of me than I was of her.
Yeah. Oh dear.
But that
reminds me. Now it's like I wonder, because you know we're recording this pretty well ahead of time.
Yeah.
I'm hoping by the end of the week we have a lot more video up.
Oh, definitely.
But you know, mostly it's been recaps kind of like this.
Yeah.
Not nearly as long, of course, because in video form, you know, there's only so much data we can really pack in. But just thinking of that, it's like, can we even use video like that? Probably not. There's like 4 hours of video that we took, most of which is just not going to see the light of day.
There's
because
another hour on my camera too.
So and there's another
like
hour.
It's like five. Good. We took like 5 hours of video.
HD video.
It's hard. Oh, my hard drive weeps. But
yeah.
But what can we use? I don't know. We'll probably squeeze about an hour out of all.
Well,
of that.
Yeah. Well, like a lot of the problems that we have had to deal more with the rules that each of the booths have imposed on the kinds of things that we can do.
For example, I wasn't allowed to take any video of Lollipop Chainsaw.
Yeah.
Or any of the games in Microsoft's Zero Z area. I don't know if you guys know how the rating system works. But I'm an expert. No, sorry. No.
Thanks, Guy.
we have a variety of. They're pretty clear in the American rating system. You know, you have what is it? E for everyone,
mm-hmm.
T for teen,
yep.
M for mature, and the rating you never see on a console game ever, AO, unless you're Rockstar and you accidentally forgot to remove some code. But anyway, those are the ratings. And in Japan they have A, which is for everyone. They have B, which is for ages 12 and up. They have C, which is for 15 and up. They have D, which is 17 and up. I guess that would be the equivalent of our M. And they have 0Z, which are games that cannot be displayed along with the other games. They have to be in their own special section. They have to be clearly labeled. And games like Rage, which you played, that's a 0Z title.
Yep.
Let's see. Killer 7 was a 0Z title when it came out. No More Heroes came out in both a D for PlayStation 3 and 0Z for Xbox 360.
Mm-hmm.
Versions, and the quite different. One was heavily censored, and one wasn't. One thing they found out was the uncensored ones sold, you know, fairly well. I mean, I don't think No More Heroes was the catalyst. It was another game that they released that there was like two versions, and Xbox 360, even with a much smaller install base, sold almost the same because people wanted the uncut version.
Yeah, yeah. Such a intuitive system too, especially for an alphabet they never use.
they use it. They just don't use it
in language.
Yeah. Okay, but anyway, all the 0Z games were in a special booth that were separated from everywhere else, so no kids walking by would see any of the screens.
Right. Which there weren't any until the public days.
And the thing is, you see, the Microsoft booth had no problem with us recording other games that were out in the open.
Mm-hmm.
But for one thing, you didn't get to see the inside of this booth, but it was actually fairly crowded. It was small because they built. This is the same booth they've been using since 2007.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, it's exactly the same layout, but before they had like one or two 0Z games. But now they had eight on display at the show.
Yeah, I remember there being quite a few in there.
So it was really crowded in there. There wouldn't have been room for cameras anyway.
Right, right.
But, and I think they're nervous about letting the stuff that, I mean, it's the Japanese equivalent, although in America, these are M-rated games, definitely. But in Japan, this is like X-rated. You know, this is
right.
This is restricted, you know. So they probably don't want that, you know, getting out so much.
You know, on the other hand, too, it ended up being kind of surprising that there were things that we couldn't film.
Yeah.
Because I remember feeling like 2007 was more restrictive, but maybe it just didn't realize the power of our press pass.
It was my hat.
It was your hat. Yeah, oh man. If you haven't seen the day two recap yet, or whatever else we put up from that time, we're probably going to do a lot more day one stuff or anything that's more time sensitive from the other days. But Vink's got this sweet, sweet press hat that he put together.
Yeah, by putting together, he means taking my Gree press pass, which just says press in big letters, and Gree at the bottom, and sticking it in the brim of my hat. 1920s reporter style, and walking around going, "Do you have a scoop for me?" You know, I think there are shenanigans going on or something.
Yeah,
but
shenanigans.
But anyway,
people say that.
You know, no, I don't know if people said that in the '20s. I wasn't around. It's before my time. But anyway,
so you say. But no, it's very interesting because I wasn't as pushy back then.
Yeah,
but when I was told I couldn't film certain things, I was more
indignant.
Indignant, I guess it's a good word. I was a little indignant, and I would point to my, you know, press badge, because you know these booths tend to give out their own little press pass you have to like affix to your shirt or your bags or something.
Did you take pictures of any
of those? No, not really.
Had them on, we'll link something to this to this post that shows what one of the badges looks like.
But you know, you're like littered in these things, and most of the time, when you showed somebody that, they just didn't see it.
Yeah,
I'm like, oh, okay. But there's like signs everywhere saying like no photography, no filming. But if you're press, it's okay.
Yeah, like you disappeared. I'm like, oh,
yeah, we were in front of the Sega booth waiting for
Shadows of the Damned event, which had Suda Goichi. Sorry, I try not to get all fanboy, but Suda Goichi. I mean, he's dreamy. But
this is today too. This was the today. It just belies when we recorded this podcast, the fourth and final day, public day as well.
And he was there along with the composer for Shadows of the Damned and two Japanese fairly famous people who did voice acting in the game. And I don't want to give away too much about that right now because we're gonna talk about it with the video we have. Mm. But anyway, I'm there and I'm like, and Sean's gonna film it, so I wanted to get closer to get some good still shots, even though they said no photography. But I'm like, I'm gonna ninja cam it a bit, so. So I'm trying to get close, and I look back, and you're gone. And and Sean, no offense to you, but over in the other on the other side of the show, in the corner, I saw pole dancers.
Yeah,
over at the Rage, not Rage, the something gamers something booth. There were smoke machines and pole dancers and loud music.
Yeah,
and
they just had the pictures up a second ago.
Yeah, and I thought, Sean ditched me for the pole dancers.
I didn't think that.
No, what? actually, the pole dancers came later. What I first thought was someone had told you not to film.
Which is what happened.
And had escorted you away. But I'm like, he would have come back, right? Would have come back. Then I saw the pole dancers. But
they saw the pole.
But what actually happened?
What actually happened was I was told to stop filming. I was standing there holding the camera. I didn't have my tripod today. So my arms were getting kind of tired, like just in the few seconds I was up there. But you know, we had just gotten our new Sega press passes for today, because they actually have one for every day.
Yeah, they date it.
Not that we actually had gotten new ones until today. but I was up there, and it was on the arm, my left arm, where I was holding the camera up, and it was facing towards where the official Sega stage was, where they were, or the part where they were filming their stuff. And I'm like, great. Anyone comes to bother me, they're going to see this right away. Of course, some guy comes from my right. doesn't see it at all. And he looks, and this happens more than once, sticks his hand in front of the camera and tells me to stop filming. And I'm just like, you know, I'm impressed. And I point to my shoulder. I turn for him. Yeah. And he's like, ah, Miney. And I was like, my? And so he starts escorting me. And I'm like, is he kicking me out? What's going on? Like, what's up front that I need to, that I'm worried about? He was directing me to the area where all the press were sitting, you know, just like on the ground with their cameras. And of course, right in front of me is this big, you know, no photography sign.
Yeah,
but we're all just sitting there doing it and recording it.
And he hands you a croissant and
yeah, it was like this is the power of press, man. But it's crazy.
I know it's really weird how the reaction was different. You know,
yeah.
As I said, we were with our friend today, and we were taking kind of a shortcut in the back, and you know, because we've always been able to just walk wherever we wanted because of those tiny little passes.
Yeah.
River. But he was stopped, and I don't know. It looked serious. It was like,
yeah.
They were not happy about it.
Yeah.
You know? So we just, we're like, well, TGS is, that's
probably, yeah, we're done with the show.
We'll take it from here.
It was after the time where an irregular attendee wouldn't have been able to re-enter the convention anyway.
Yeah.
So we sort of made a mistake and let him out while we were trying to gather our stuff up.
Yeah, that was our bad. But anyway, it was weird, the difference there. But I don't know, how do you stop people from taking pictures? Everybody had their cell phone camera. People were taking pictures.
Yeah.
They were fighting a frantic battle to keep these in. But it's strange to me that they have an event like this, and they bring these famous people there, and then they're like, but please, don't take pictures.
Yeah. Don't tell anyone these people came and saw them.
Yeah. I mean, what were they so afraid of? They're like, well, what if he comes out and he has soup on his shirt, you know? And someone takes a picture of it. Is it going to ruin his reputation? Like, I really don't know, because what was really weird is when they tell you not to take pictures at a press event.
Right. That, yeah.
It's like...
What?
I hope you listeners don't think that we're standing above on some pedestal here. We really don't... Think about it that way, and what we're trying to do is capture as much for you guys as we possibly can. You know, there were a lot of different booths had lounges and things that we could have sat and chilled out in, but we were really kind of just trying to get as much footage and stuff as we possibly could. You know, just
it was just weird for us not to be treated like everyone else. So we weren't expecting to be.
I'm used to being treated worse than everyone else. So when I was, so I think you were being treated better than everyone else, but I was just being treated like a normal person, which was unusual for me.
Oh, whatever. So yeah, it's weird that they're so protective about this stuff, especially when, and as cool as it was to be like 10 feet from Suda Goichi.
I hate you. I'm sorry. You don't even care about him.
I care a little. He had a sweet, you know. Thing in his arm.
There's a video of me touching a guy who touched him.
Oh.
This is my secondhand Suda touch.
Oh, dear. It's like indirect kissing or something?
Kind of like that.
Oh, dear.
That makes it sound worse.
No, it sounds about right, actually.
Yeah.
The entire stage show was just kind of this ridiculous... Well, it wasn't ridiculous, but it wasn't a lot of substance to it. So, you know, They showed a clip of this game. It's all like, it's like sexy and bloody, and
sexy and bloody action.
I'm like, what? Are you serious? And then like, you know, the host is like basically asking Suda, like how to come up with this brilliant idea to mix sex and violence. Yeah.
Well, I'll tell you, I was in my garden. And no, sorry, that's how Pikmin came up. Sorry.
Right.
But yeah, it was like, do you like the character you play? Well, yeah, I guess I do. It was like, oh man, it was a real fluff piece. But Nobody really cared.
Yeah, the girls in the front certainly didn't care.
Well, it's because the one playing the Japanese voice of, what's his name? Hotspur? I've played this game, I should know this. Was a fairly, I would say, a good-looking man. I don't know.
I've been told this by people who know that sort of thing about men.
Yeah, but I don't know, but he seemed popular. But, you know, I got so close to seeing so many people who I'd really like to talk to.
Like Arino?
Yes. Oh my gosh, that was crazy. Okay, Game Center CX, one of my favorite programs of all time. Just love it. And the host, Arino, if you're not familiar with it, on Kotaku you can watch a version of it that's mostly just the gameplay clips. And if you search YouTube, you can probably find full-ish episodes. I'm not sure, but you can buy DVDs from Japan. They have a lot of box sets, very very popular.
And if you don't mind not understanding what's going on,
well, even if you don't, there's a lot you can get from context. But yeah. But anyway, great show, and the host of it was there for I would say 4 minutes.
Maybe four and a half. Yeah.
It was, because I'd heard about this, because I'm a big fan. He usually shows up at the show. We saw him once before we really knew. I knew who he was, but only in a periphery basis.
Right.
And Sean, not at all, but we learned about him afterwards.
Yeah.
And so this time we're like, okay, we know who he is.
Yep.
And I kept hanging out at the booth for Game Center CX, and I'd be like, Arno's coming, isn't he? Can you tell me when? When's he coming? Come on. And they're like, we don't have any planned events. And I'm like, I know, but when's he coming? Come on, tell me. I'll buy a t-shirt. Okay. I'll buy another t-shirt. No, sorry. I bought one. But
yeah.
But anyway, I'm like, you know, we have a show that if in America that it's also about retro games, and if he's not going to be here, that's fine. But is he going to be here? You know, and they're like, well, if you come here at like 2 o'clock on Sunday, he's going to be showing up. Now, the thing is, there were so many people there.
Yeah.
I thought I'd gotten like an exclusive bit of. As exclusive tip hint or right. something. But there were a lot of people there.
And they were just waiting, and it was already like a path made out in the middle for him to come down.
So like this was no surprise visit, but and most of them weren't press either. He probably announced it on his show. He's like, and by the way, I'll be at Tokyo Game Show, so everybody come there. But don't tell Famicom Dojo. You know, I don't know exactly what
those jerks.
Yeah. They're trying to steal my chicks. I don't know what was up with that, but it was probably announced somewhere in Japanese that I just glossed over. But we were the only foreign press there,
though. Oh, definitely. We were the only foreigners in that crowd as far as we were.
Yeah. Oh man, there were some super fans there.
Oh yeah.
Like I thought they must have been staff or something, cuz they were decked out in nothing but Game Center CX stuff.
Yeah.
Like just huge fans or whatever. We gave them a Famicom Dojo DVD.
And why not?
I mean, I don't know if they'll even understand it, or when they see it, they're going to probably throw it away. But I was like, if we had a target audience in Japan, it would be these guys.
Oh, yeah.
You know?
Oh, yeah.
I don't think we have a target audience. Despite my huge effort the night before coming here, which was in retrospect a mistake, to get that letter totally translated into Japanese instead of sleeping. but we should put that on the website, like
the
Japanese version of the letter.
Yeah, why not?
And have people make fun of my Japanese.
But what was funny about this whole situation was that Arino was in L.A.
Yeah.
The week before, and I found this out before we left from Gio Wario.
Oh, yes.
While I was talking to him, I was asking about a video actually that we helped him with that isn't up yet, so I'm kind of excited for it.
Yeah.
But yeah, it's just sort of like slipped out this bit of information and like basically asked me for an autograph on something.
Yeah.
And I was like, great, so I'm already to get this done too. But we even saw like a tiny cartridge this morning before we left that someone had signed something from him already, and I was like, what? Did we miss him already? Was it the show? It turned out to be from the LA event. Okay, so great. So we get there, we're like, alright, awesome, there's going to be like a lot of people, we're going to be able to get through, we're going to wait as long as it takes. He's there for all of that 4 minutes and change, and leaves.
He didn't sign anything.
Yeah.
He was just gone. And I don't know, I mean,
I could have flown to L.A. It would have been cheaper, I would have had way less fun, but I could have, you know, like, touched someone who touched Arno, you know?
Oh, but the thing is, we were all huddled together in the pack, so if one of the people in the front had touched Arno by proxy, we had all touched Arno. And he touched us.
He did not. He got the hell out of there.
Well, there was a lot. Did you see those people?
They were kind of scary.
If he would have stayed any longer, they would have skeletonized him. I mean, there was danger to his life because just frothing, foaming mouth otaku, just like Game Center CX, and of course us, the rational noble. No, we were pushing it.
I was about to say that you know. I saw all those weirdos outside waving goodbye to his van, but we went outside to see what was going on and didn't leave when we knew it was happening. So.
Yep, we knew that they were out there just to say goodbye to his van. But Sean, I waved. He was probably sleeping in the back of it by that point. Like, it had tinted windows. I think he wasn't, but I waved because
maybe he saw you.
Maybe he did.
Picked you out of the crowd,
and you know
your shining golden hair.
He would have seen it. He would go. Dojo, turn the van around. but alas, no. Oh, and if my wife is listening to this right now, thank you for basically translating that letter, because she stayed up with me that late too night before, and we hope some of the Japanese people we gave it to will be touched by that letter. In the way that I was touched by Arno through proxy.
Well, I mean, as far as its accuracy and you know, ability to make any sense to them, nobody looked at this letter and went. They're like, oh, yes, retro game, okay. And I was like,
yep. They really helped, and it was printed on. It's
really nice.
It's nice.
I honestly don't know if I can duplicate that quality when I get back home and need to print more of these.
Five DVD sales we have will include a copy of this letter.
Okay, remind me. I might forget.
When you order the DVD, please add as a comment. Send me the letter.
We also finally put together a DVD that we owed someone for the last 2 years.
Yep.
I don't remember the gentleman's name anymore, but I have his email to us flagged.
Okay.
There was a guy who paid us a little extra to get a copy of the DVD signed by both of us, and since we don't live in the same country, that was really really hard. And we had just released the season one DVD.
Yep.
And so I'm like, all right, this is what we're gonna do. I'm gonna mail you this DVD. And then I need you to sign it and mail it back. But we're trying to figure out like how to open it without, you know, breaking the seal too badly, and you know, just sending it back. It's just this cluster.
And then
you know,
so much time had gone by. It seemed. Can we still send it?
Yeah. So it's
like if you don't know someone's name.
Yeah.
But you've been working with them for a while, and then like. You can't ask them what their name is anymore because it's been too much time has passed, you know. It's kind of like that.
Yeah. So you know, I eventually sent him an just like a regular DVD.
Yeah.
And I don't think I signed it. I think I sent him a regular DVD by itself.
Mm-hmm.
And you know, I apologized and offered to give him his money back. He's like, no, I want to support you guys, so it's cool. I was like, okay. But I never forgot that. I still feel bad. So now that we're finally here together in the same place, doing Famicom Dojo stuff, you know, since the first time since then. I finally remembered, and we have it signed, and we're going to send it off. So if you're listening, whatever your name is, I can't remember right now, but I'll look it up when I have a free moment, probably when I get back to the States. Your new DVD is coming. It has already been opened, though, because we signed the inside cover.
Yep.
But yeah, we don't have that many signed copies out there. I did it a few times when I would go to conventions.
Yep.
And I would, like, put on Twitter or something, you know, first three people to find me gets a free DVD, free signed DVD or a t-shirt if I happen to have them on me. And that worked out pretty good. Like, the first time I went to PAX East, I got recognized and they gave out all my DVDs.
Wow.
Yeah. Including that t-shirt. Although, someone I ran into at some point, I, like, owed a t-shirt to, but it didn't have it in the bag with me.
Yep.
So I didn't send it for, like, a month because I actually needed to get a new one printed because I ended up having to wear that for some reason. Then when I give them one I had worn. So I had to, like, get a new one printed up. Mm. So that's another thing, too. We have t-shirts.
Yes.
We have them. It's not so much accurate to say as we have them as they are available, but they're through Zazzle. And Zazzle charges a lot of money, and we don't see hardly any of it.
Yep.
But if people really want one, I can link the Zazzle account in the show notes.
Go for it.
And you guys can get that. We actually got an email before we left for TGS about that.
Yeah.
Or was it like the first day? I don't really recall.
Yeah.
But he's like, you know, why can't I buy your shirt? And I thought he meant like he couldn't physically do it through Zazzle. But all he meant was there wasn't one available through the site, which is true. We never linked it. So I explained that, you know, yeah, it's just because it costs so much. I really want to give people a good price on these sorts of things, and we're trying to find a way to do it cheaply. Really,
so if you know someone who works for a t-shirt company,
or some small runs
or something, we like the I think they look good too. We like our t-shirts, but we haven't found a way to make them to be a price where we feel that people would want to buy them.
Yeah.
I don't know. Viewers out there, I know you like this show, but do you really like it enough to buy a t-shirt?
Well, the funny thing is that Ringer tee that I've been wearing a lot, and you see me wearing it in like the day one episode stuff.
I lost.
Yeah, and Vink lost his. Apparently, Zazzle doesn't carry that style anymore, at least not in that color, and we can no longer make them. So there are only two in existence that I know of, and one of them is missing.
Lost, yeah. So if you have it, give it back.
but there's another one with just like the Pulse logo, as we call it.
Yeah.
You know, the standard season 2 logo that we've given out as prizes before, and people have been buying if they happen upon it through Google or wherever they find it. And that's still available, so that's up there. I replaced the Ringer tee with two other ones that are what's the style? I don't know. It's like the three-quarter sleeve thing, like from, you know, those freaking preppy
mid-arm
movies.
I don't know.
Yeah, and then another one that's like more of like a long sleeve one for winter. I kind of want one of those. The thing is that they're like white and gray or something, and we just can't get that nice gold or orange background anymore. But it looks pretty cool, and I'm going to try and get one. Thing is, they're so pretty pricey, so if you want to spend the money on it, fantastic. But it's not something that I want to really push outside of this particular podcast, I guess.
So anyway, let's get back to the show.
Sure, we should wrap this up.
Spending a little time being meta, and yeah, we've got...
We've got an interview.
Tomorrow. Yeah, well, more on that later.
Yeah. So we'll tell you what's happening, but we're expecting to be on a show.
Yes.
In Japan tomorrow morning that we're being interviewed for in Akihabara.
Now, whether we actually get on this program or not is anybody's guess.
Yeah.
But they do want us to come down to Akihabara tomorrow and do an interview. Now, I'm not even gonna list it because I don't want. If it actually goes up, we'll try to get a clip.
Yeah.
But like they're going to be interviewing lots of people, and who knows what they're actually going to use or whether they're going to run it at all.
Yeah, they were just camping outside of Makuhari Meisei grabbing people, And
since I could speak some Japanese, that was one of the qualifications.
And we told them about our show, you know, and...
They didn't seem all that interested in us until we showed them the DVD we made, and they were like, oh, these are gamer people from America, you know, it's like...
Well, we're coming out of Tokyo Game Show, what do they expect?
I know, but I mean, when they saw that, they're like, you know, because... You know, already people going to Tokyo Game Show from another country are kind of rare, but like when they're coming to Tokyo Game Show and they also have a show about Japanese games, well, that's slightly more rare. Speaking of very rare things, we got to have a dinner at Tony Roma's, rare.
my burger was a little rare.
And the burger was rare. No. And Banjo-Kazooie. No, sorry.
Well, you know, our guest was a rare bird indeed.
Indeed. Because this was a man who fronts a Japanese heavy metal, 80s styled, all sung in English, Christian rock band. That's pretty amazing. So we ate at Tony Roma's, a place for ribs, which I didn't think existed in Japan, which is a place for raw fish. And and we ate there. Pretty pricey, but it was good. It was good. And that was really probably the most relaxed for all of the Tokyo Game Show, you know, because we could just chill out and talk about games and life.
Actually, we didn't talk about games very much at first. It wasn't until towards the end of the evening when he's kind of like, so why don't we talk about games? And we're like, oh yeah, I guess we can do that.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. No, you remember what I said. I don't like games.
Yeah, I don't like games. I don't like games. That's what your sister said already.
Yeah.
She has a blog, by the way.
Yeah. Please don't stalk my sister online. Okay. But yeah, so we have an apology to make, guys.
Yeah.
Sorry. The R&O thing didn't work out exactly the way we wanted.
Yeah,
he was there for 40 minutes and...
4 minutes. Did you say 40 or 4?
4.
Four. Okay.
4. Sorry. No, I said 40, but I'm changing it to 4.
Yeah, because that's what it was.
But we have some video of the crowds waiting around, and we have 1 second of him... coming out, but unfortunately we have 4 minutes of thinking the camera was on.
Yeah.
But not... Now, we got some still photos. Still photos. And we have our memories.
That's true. Of use to no one but us, and they will fade through time.
Oh, and I've touched some of the DVDs that Sean will be selling, so the DVD that you have may have been touched by someone who, through a chain of 6 or 7 people... has touched R&O, and I think that makes it a collector's edition. Can we call it?
So if you open it, make sure to save the plastic shrink wrap somewhere. Maybe vacuum seal it, and be like, "There's by proxy R&O touch on this."
There's got to be, just kind of rub it on your arm before you go to sleep, and when you wake up, you'll be a better video game player.
I think that's better than, you know, trying to rub our stuff off, because as you'll see in the Blaze Blue competition, that's not
something we're terribly good at. Oh, you're so bad at games.
You know, how hard could it have been, right? I still maintain I was sabotaged by the guy who changed the button configuration right in front of my face. And
he
then
was probably, like, changing it to, like, he changed the configuration to, like, every button is, like, press A to win, but you kept pressing B. You just kept pressing
I was told, she up, and I didn't know what C was because it was all PlayStation
E buttons.
Buttons. Yeah. So there were shapes. Unless well, they can't she really is shackle.
You can't really tell you to shape up, although he should have.
Oh, man.
So what else did we do? We interviewed an angel.
Yeah. What?
Was
that? Oh, yeah, it was on day 3.
Yeah.
Wasn't yeah, it? The yes. Light and Dark.
We interviewed an angel, and then we were told that we had to choose our allegiance. Yes. Chon chose Dark, obviously, because he's the evil one of our group.
Actually, I was wearing my Angry Birds t-shirt that day.
Yes, you were.
And it was white, and yours, yeah. yours is actually black, isn't
Mine's
it?
Mine's black, so...
So we did a little reversal.
So when it comes to birds...
A little reversey.
I am the evil one, but...
Yeah. But really, aren't all the... Angry Birds evil because they're just hurting those harmless pigs.
I've heard that, but
well, actually, I take it back. Those pigs aren't harmless because they wear construction hats.
I don't believe those birds can. if you want to know more, go to angrybirdstruth.org. No, this is not a real site. They call them bee truthers for bird truthers. But anyway,
no one does that.
No, but. But anyway, so we got T-shirts from them, and it looks like a fun game, and we'll post that interview.
If you follow us on Twitter,
this is my angle. If we ever did do a Booth Babes post, this is my angle.
Sure,
that they're not just this. Well, at least we've come up with a few examples where they weren't just the airhead, pretty to look at girls. The girl we interviewed at that booth. At that card game, she knew the game. She knew it very well. The one who in the camouflage or like the military esque
uniform. Yeah, that's like day one or day two. Yeah,
or whatever. You took a glance and it would be like she doesn't even know what the product is. You know.
Yeah.
But she was the one who took me through a demo, and she had an account on the game herself with fairly high status. You know. We ran into, in several of the places, people who actually knew what they were selling. And, of course, we still found a lot of people who were like, I'm holding bags!
Yeah, there were some really creepy, especially on the public days, there were some really creepy scenes where they would, like, bring out one of their booth babes holding something, wearing whatever they were wearing, and just, like, there would just be this swarm of guys with their massive cameras.
Because I kept thinking an event was going on, like I'd be like, oh whoa, look at that! There's like 30 people in a, not 30, more like 200 or something.
It was ridiculous.
With cameras going off, and I'm like, oh, there must be some guest. And it's a girl in a bikini there.
Yeah,
and she's
just standing there posing.
She's standing vamping. There, and not even like statuesque, like not even like changing pose.
Yeah, she looks actually kind of more scared than anything, and I would be too.
Kidding.
So, not being able to do anything about this, I think this was at the Game Loft booth.
Yeah.
We were just like, can we just play the games that are behind her?
Because she was standing in front of the table with all the games on, and I'd come over there because I thought there was an event going on, but I'm like, ooh, like 428 or whatever, which is a Famitsu Perfect Score game had been ported to the iPad, and I'm like, oh man, I want to see what they did with it. I'm like, can we go? Because everybody's taking pictures of this girl. Can we walk behind the hot girl and play the game?
Yeah.
The answer was, sure. So...
yeah, it wasn't anything special.
So if you ever find, maybe in a week or so, if you Google Game Loft Girl, you'll find some blog posts, and there'll be this kind of hot girl in like a metallic bikini, and behind them will be like Sean and I playing iPad games.
Yeah, I actually very deliberately pointed out the Famicom Dojo bag hanging off the tripod so that you can see it off to one side of her. Sort of photobombed them, but they deserved it.
Everyone was sweaty and it was but
yeah.
But like. I don't know, Sean. I had a good time.
I had a great time.
Oh, do you remember the AR game we played?
Yeah.
The
Ghost Catcher.
Ghost Catcher.
Yeah.
Which is like AR cosplay gun Ghostbusters.
I mean they even mentioned Ghostbusters pretty specifically.
Yeah, they're like Ghostbusters.
Yeah.
Use the energy like Ghostbusters. Yeah, then catch just Ghostbusters.
Don't cross the streams Ghostbusters.
Don't cross this. And we've got video of that, so that'll be coming up too. Is there anything we didn't get on video that we should share right now?
Aside from Ari, no.
yeah.
Not that I can think of, really. And we filmed everything. That's why we have 5 hours of footage between us. And like, you know, a few gigabytes of very high-resolution pictures.
Yes.
Just insane. Yeah, I had a great time at this show, and I would come back next year if it were financially feasible and if I felt like I've recovered enough. You know, because it was, you know, it was very, 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 I don't want to say stressful, just very action-packed, and you really had to, be on our game for every single day we were here.
We did, and any time, and I don't know, it was, I know we've got viewers listening now, they're like, oh, poor baby, you spent 4 days at the awesomest place in the whole world.
Well, I mean, you know, we were here working, though, it's like, we were having fun. But, you know, we were very deliberately doing stuff, and if we had, like, a home office to send this stuff back to where they could get the video up as we're experiencing the convention, that'd be great, but we have to do all the work, all the production, post-production work as well.
I think probably the most said phrase that I had the entire convention wasn't, you know, that game was great, or we should play that. It was always, Sean, did you get enough B-roll?
You know?
I think I said that maybe 1,000 times, because putting these videos together, we wanted to make sure that we got stills of the booth to go for the high resolution, you know, image to link it, like kind of a pan of the booth so you could see it, game footage, whatever, and anything that we thought we needed. But like sometimes we'd done all that, and afterwards it was like, so how was the game? And it's like, it seemed like a minor part of what we were doing.
Right. And the stuff that's gone up already is stuff that didn't require a lot of editing.
Yes.
You know, it didn't require a lot of intercutting. Like the Mass Effect 3 one was the closest thing that we got, but we weren't really allowed to film very close to the booth.
Yeah, that was weird.
I really couldn't show a lot of game footage, you know, illustrating the things I was talking about when I reviewed it. And I'm sorry for shouting, because you can't hear it. Because the microphone's, you know, unidirectional and really good at blocking out the sound, but it was so loud in there all the time.
It was,
and that was before the public days.
It was insane. Something to look forward to when you're watching the videos, and hopefully by the time you're listening to this, there's a number of them out. On some of them, what we're saying is much less interesting than what's going on in the background.
Oh, definitely. Especially on the public days when there were lots of cosplayers there.
And
oh, man.
Just please watch our videos twice, because the first time you watch it, you're not going to be watching us. We're not particularly great-looking people. You're going to be watching all the interesting people behind us. But then please watch it again for the content, because we worked hard on these.
Yeah, for sure.
But I don't know. There's that one video where we're standing in front of the Sega booth.
Oh, yeah.
And I'm talking about Puyo Puyo. Nobody cares about Puyo Puyo, but the stuff going on behind me, the guys at least are going to care about a lot. And
there's some of the gay girls, too.
Thanks, Sean.
Include everyone.
Okay, include everyone. And
maybe some of the transgendered guys who are also gay girls.
All right. Okay, well, you've included everyone, but the thing is, Puyo Puyo is so, like, family-friendly thing. We really should have moved to another area, but, like, there was just sexiness going on in the background that really didn't seem appropriate for the... So maybe we'll cut some of that out and intersperse some Puyo Puyo clips or put... No?
I'm not really sure. I mean, I want to say we didn't have a lot of options on where to film, but that's kind of a lie.
Well, I mean, for the other one, we filmed two videos in the same place. But we could have moved for Puyo Puyo, you know what I mean? We really could have, but could have, should have. Oh, well. Anyway. Yeah. Oh, regret. Game show regret.
Man, I mean... nothing specific, just that I just wanted more time to do everything.
Yeah,
there were so many things we didn't see. I wanted to see the Resident Evil game. I wanted to see Final Fantasy 13-2. That was another DS game, right? 3DS game, wasn't
it? Final Fantasy 13-2?
Yeah.
That was a 360 game.
A 360 game? What was I thinking of? Is this some Final Fantasy game that's... I don't even know. See, this is what I'm saying. like, you know, people asked me to go see things that we just didn't have time to do, especially on the public days, because we had to get there super early, and we just slept in on the fourth day. You know, we didn't have that chance to get in, and we were just so busy the first few days, there was no way we could have done it.
Yeah,
you know,
but I mean, Tokyo Game Show is often covered by media. They send 10 or 20 people, and they cover everything. And some of them don't even see the show floor at all. They just spend the time in the press room writing things up, and that's a very good way. But we hope we can show you something that they can't, because we're getting in there and we're seeing. Oh my gosh! We film Mommy Tummy. I forgot about that today. I don't think anybody else is covering that one.
There's probably a reason for that. Actually, it looks really ridiculous, but when you got in there, I mean,
it somehow worked.
Yeah, they had a guy who was speaking some, you know, passable but broken English to you about what was going on, and they even changed. I noticed this when we were first standing there, that they had like a chart of the baby development from like 1 to 10 months. And yeah. I thought that was I commented on that. And then like when you went up there, the entire screen was in English.
Yep.
And they had changed the chart to be from 0 to 9 months.
Because the Japanese does it different. Mommy Tummy, for those who are not aware, which is everyone who I can't admit, if anybody knew about this before listening to this podcast, I applaud you.
Yeah.
This is what's called it's made by Serious Games. which is an interesting name.
Yeah.
And it's a simulation, not so much a game. It's a simulation of what it's like to be like 9 months pregnant.
Yeah.
What they do is they strap you into this suit, and this is an interesting question to be asked by a man, but he said, "Would you like large breasts?" And they said, "Sure. Let her rip," you know. They put this bodysuit on me, and yes. And then it was connected to a computer monitor, and they showed the different stages of being pregnant. So you started, you know, 1 month, 2 months, you know. When it hit like 3-4 months, there was kicking. You could feel mm-hmm. kicking. Mm-hmm. Well, I could. And it was filling up with, I think, kind of warm water.
Mm.
Because it was getting heavier and yeah. heavier, and after a while it was quite heavy. I didn't notice it at first because I already looked pregnant. But you're feeling the baby kicking, and if you move too much in one direction, it simulates the baby waking up and being angry, and then you have to calm it by like rubbing your belly and speaking soothing things, which I'm not entirely sure is science. But
and they had Dad come over and rub the tummy too.
Yep. And
turned in father.
Now, the father of my child, according to a picture that was taken at the event, is also the leader of a Christian rock group. It's just... Originally, I had instructed Sean to be the father of my child.
I was I'm filming this.
But he was unable to bear that type of responsibility.
That's right. I ran.
Yeah, he ran.
I'm an absentee baby daddy.
Yeah, but anyway, and what they do is they have you do these challenges like picking up objects on the floor and just showing how. And it was really hard
mm-hmm.
because, like, I suppose if you're pregnant, you eventually get used to it. But for me, it was just totally. I was totally unbalanced, and it was tough to pick up objects. I think the point of the game was to train fathers to be sensitive to, like, that their wives are going through a lot. And because at the end he's like, "What type of father are you?" And he showed one picture where the dad's just like watching TV and the wife's like doing all the chores.
His kangaroo pose.
Yes. that's another story altogether. But anyway, it was interesting. Sean, it's so late. I think we're going to have to wrap this up.
I think that sounds good.
There's so many more things that happen, but they'll come up in future podcasts.
Yeah. And we have more video to show. So, you know, even though we didn't talk about absolutely everything, that's because we have those 5 hours of footage to, like, sift through and distill over the coming weeks.
And thank you everyone for listening this far. We know that the last couple podcasts have been less about the games as about the personal experiences, and we hope you've enjoyed that actually. But we'll if it's getting too much for you, yeah. let us know, because we are not famous enough to carry it as a personality podcast. You know what I mean?
Yeah. Although, you know, on the other hand, we've been told by more than one person that they really sort of like the personal touch we gave our 2007 coverage.
Yeah.
Which, you know, sort of what we're doing now, like just like an extended form. The last time we did this, we actually sat in the hotel room like the day before I had to go back to America.
Yep.
Or so the morning of. Overstaying our checkout time.
Yes.
To get three different sections worth of footage.
Yep.
In there about everything we saw during. It was just over 3 days.
Yes.
Which is kind of weird. I thought there were 4 days.
Wait. No. Maybe. Was it 3 days that year? My first year was 3 days. Okay. But I thought the year you came, it had been extended to 4.
Maybe we just didn't do anything on Sunday, which is almost what happened this year too. But yeah, we had broken up into three parts, and we had already written, you know, how we're going to divide things up. And this time, we just, having that model, we kind of went, as we went along, or we've been dividing them that way, too. So we have video diaries up. But we're still going to do some, you know, a final video that sort of doesn't distill the experience so much as addresses the thesis of the keynote, which is that video games are going to move to the cloud, and these be just like delivered on dumb terminals and have the power of the cloud.
I'm still thinking about that one though, Sean.
Yeah.
I still don't know if I totally agree with that. And I think, but maybe part of me doesn't want to believe it, because
right.
I love physical media.
Yeah.
I think it feels good, man. I mean, you know, but
yeah, I don't see physical media really going away.
Yeah.
So much, you know, but I gotta say, I've been buying a lot of more things that don't have discs or manuals or cases.
Yeah. Yeah.
So, it's true. All right, so I guess with that, that wraps up Tokyo Game Show coverage, at least explicit Tokyo Game Show coverage.
Yes.
For our podcast. There'll probably almost definitely be videos trickling out in the coming weeks, but we'll try to diversify our discussion. Actually, I was thinking of saving all that PS Vita and
for
3DS
a separate
stuff.
Podcast, but, I know.
But it sort of flowed in organically, especially because the news is so recent. By the time this comes out, it's going to be a week after we all learned this. So,
but anyway, as always, send us your comments, your thoughts. If you have any specific questions about TGS, we'd love to answer them. We're kind of taking you behind the scenes a little more than we had intended.
Yeah.
But if you like that, we'd be happy to answer anything more about it, especially for anyone who's a budding journalist yourself. Like we are. budding. Yeah, budding. Anyway, thank you for joining us tonight. We've got to be in Akihabara in a few hours, so
we're gonna
grab some sleep and maybe get some video of that too.
Yeah, we'll see what happens.
Okay.
All right, later, kids. Happy bee, happy bee, happy bee, rockin' bay game.